Hey, this is Keith. I'm the pastor at Truth Community Church, and I want to thank you for checking out our podcast today. Wherever you're listening from, I hope this message leads you to discover Jesus, connect with people, and serve the world. If you want to take your next step, visit us online at truthcommunity.org. Now, let's dive into the message. We are starting a brand new series called Better. So what we like to do here is we like to take on topics or books of the Bible for weeks at a time to really dive into it and explore it and figure out what is it all about. So today's a cool Sunday because you're on the launch team for this. For the next 6 weeks leading into April 1st, Easter, we're going to be talking about this topic of better. Now, there's a word that I think all of us can identify with, no matter your age in this space, no matter your life experience. This is a word that we don't like to admit we carry, and yet I think all of us have experienced it, and maybe you might even be experiencing it right now, and it's the word insecure. Right? Anyone brave enough to throw their hand up? I'm insecure. The rest of us are too insecure to raise our hands. That's how insecurity works. Like, I'm not admitting it. But insecurity is something that all of us know. It's an emotion that we have felt before. Right? And if you're in a relationship, and if you started that relationship at the way, way beginning, you might have felt insecure on that first date. It's like, guys, how much cologne do I need to put on to mask the man smell? Right? I want to make sure I smell good. I want to make sure I look good. And yet that doesn't seem to change that much. I've been married 9 years this August, and there are still moments where that insecurity of, hey, do I look good for my wife? Does she love me? Those things well up in us with relationships. It happens at your job. You're wondering, did I do enough to deserve the raise? Did I do enough to get the promotion? Is my boss going to keep me? Is he going to let me go? These are thoughts that go through our heads all the time. You're in school. Am I performing well? My teachers approve of me. Peer pressure. Do my friends like me? Do they still want to invite me? I mean, you hear about a party or a gathering that you weren't invited to, and what happens? Insecurity creeps in. Well, I wonder why I wasn't invited. I wonder why they didn't ask me to join in. And I think what goes together with insecurity because of those why questions is confusion. Oftentimes, if we are insecure about ourselves, we are also at the same time confused about something. Well, I just don't understand. I just don't get it. Why not? Why me? Why them? And we wrestle through this on a regular basis with our relationships, our finances, with our health. We're constantly wondering. And advertising doesn't make it any easier, right? And now we have catered advertising, which is why anything you order off Amazon shows up on Facebook on the sides. Like, how did you know that I ordered that? And it's like, well, I think I need that now because this will make me feel better about me. So all day long throughout your life, you are getting it from external places, and internally, we are asking those questions. Why me? Why not? Am I good enough? Do they like me? Will I get the job? Will she say yes? Will he say yes? All of these questions run through our head. Now, I can't tackle every single one of those questions in the time we have together today, but I want to talk about the insecurity that you and I have as it relates to God. Because if you'll stay with me during our time together, I think if we can realize our insecurity with other people is coming possibly from an insecurity that we might have when it comes to God. So just nod along, or if you don't want to, you don't have to, with me, think through this. Have you ever felt insecure or confused when it comes to God? And I'll throw my hand up way high. Maybe for you, today's your first time in church ever, or your first time in a long time, because you've thought through some of those insecurity questions. Well, I wonder what the church is like. I wonder if they're going to like me. Am I going to know what to do? When do I stand? When do I sit? What do I say? What do I wear? Are they going to notice it's my first time there? Are they going to point that out? Am I good enough for church? That's just church. Then if you've had just this personal time with God through prayer or through questions or just thinking, it's, well, I wonder if God likes me. I mean, I could see that God likes that person. They're a good person. They seem to have it together. But you start analyzing your story and you start looking through what you know about you, and you compare it to what you don't know about someone else, because you only see the highlight reel, especially on Instagram, right? You see the best of the best, and it's, well, I'm not them, so sure God likes that person, but I'm sure he doesn't me. And we wrestle through that insecurity. And then, if you've ever attempted to read this on your own, man, there's got to be no way you can walk away from reading some of these pages and felt insecure and confused. This is church. We could be honest. Because you read a story in here and you say, I don't get it. Especially if you turn to some of the beginning part of it, right? The Old Testament. I don't understand any of that. I'm confused about that. And then you may be fortunate or unfortunate enough to have the Bible man in your life. Right? The Bible man seems to know all the references and all the verse numbers and all the stories. And then you get around the Bible man, and then you feel really insecure because he's quoting Haggai, and you're like, I knew Haggai was a book. What are you talking about? Right? Because we get that insecurity in us. And you look at other people, and you see how, man, they just seem to enjoy it. They're giving, they're serving, they're reading, they're talking about the Bible. And in us comes this insecurity and this confusion. Now, I looked at that and I asked, why do we feel so insecure? Why is it that we get insecure when it comes to God, when it comes to other people? What's at the core of insecurity? And as I thought about it and thought through my own life, when I feel insecure, I noticed something. There's a dot to connect. Here's insecurity, and what often goes right with it is focusing on myself. I realize that I am most insecure when the focus is most on me. Or a way to say it that'll rhyme is focusing on me leads to insecurity. Focusing on me leads to insecurity. Here's why. Because when I'm constantly thinking about my knowledge or my goodness or my behavior or my performance or my smell, whatever that is, I then immediately ask an insecure question. Well, I wonder if I smell good enough. Well, I wonder if I'm good enough. Well, I wonder if they'll accept me enough. And what started here presents itself as insecurity. Does that make sense? That you start to feel insecure about your position at work when you start focusing on your performance and start evaluating it. And when it comes to God, you start to get insecure about how God views you when you think of yourself, because you know about you. And a lot of times we don't know that much about God, only what we've kind of seen or heard or read somewhere. And so we got God up here, and he's so great, and he's so good, and we've got Keith over here, and it's, well, I know I'm not so great and good. And so I don't know if I could read. I don't know if I can go to church. I don't know if they'll accept me. I don't know if I should pray. And all of that comes from a place of you are focused on you. And when you focus on yourself, insecurity is going to attach itself to that moment. So what I want us to do throughout this series is we are going to change the focus. We are going to stop looking so much at us in order to deal with the insecurity. We can't just deal with the insecurity. Because if we deal with the insecurity, we're just dealing with questions. So we'll just get better questions. We'll tell ourselves we're not that bad. We're pretty good. What I want to do is I want to look at the focus, the real root issue. There is a focus change that needs to happen for insecurity to be dealt with. Now, here's what I think. And you could agree or disagree. We'll find out at the end. If you change the focus of you as it relates to God, the insecurity there is dealt with. I believe the insecurity out here starts to be dealt with. I think that if you could come to a place where you're no longer asking the hard why questions when it comes to God, does God love me? Does God accept me? Does God care about me? Does God know me? If you could land somewhere different today with that, I believe it's going to change the way you ask those questions as it relates to your spouse, boyfriend, girlfriend, coworkers, friends, boss, whatever it is. But I think you've got to deal with the one up here first. You've got to deal with the vertical whys in order to deal with the horizontal ones. Before we do any of that, we got to change the focus. So there's a lot of like building into this. So how do we change the focus? We need a truth that is going to help us change the focus. Right now, your truth is this. Let me speak for you. Focused on me. That's my truth. When I filter life, I wonder if I'm good enough, if things are good enough for others because I've got to be that way. So we need a truth that will say this isn't all about you. But what is that truth? That's what we're going to discover today. And this is the foundation for where we're going to go for the next 5 weeks. So this is for you if you've ever asked the why question when it comes to God. if you've ever felt insecure or confused before, if you've ever opened the Bible and instantly closed it and thought, nope, don't get that. Do not know what's going on there. If you've ever read one of those cute Sunday school stories about David defeating Goliath, right? There's this little teenage boy that takes down a giant, and you leave that story saying, well, I could never do that, so I guess I'm not as good as him. This is for you. You've got to understand this truth today. If you're wondering if you're good enough for the people around you, for your boss, for your friends, for your family, you've got to discover this truth today. It's a game changer. What's so cool about this truth is Jesus shared it. What's really cool about it is that Jesus shared this truth after Jesus died and came back to life. And I know that's a stretch. We're going to talk a lot about that on Easter, but we're going to start today with it. So one of the things we truly believe is that Jesus literally died, nailed to a cross, dead, verified by Romans, who, by the way, knew when people were dead because they had an estimated 6,000 crucifixions a day. That's a day is what they were up to at this time. These were professional killers. They knew how to make sure someone was dead. Verify Jesus is dead. Let's bury him. Guarded by Roman centurions who were known to guard graves. This is what they did. And somehow Jesus is walking around afterwards. Very interesting. And so Jesus, after he dies, after he resurrects, there are these three resurrection stories that we get from a man named Luke. Now, Luke wrote about this not even 40 years after this happened. And if you're into history, I know I'm boring some, but some that lean into the History Channel, this is where you live. If you know about manuscripts and how early can we date things, 40 years from an experience is really, really, really good. Really good. Like professionally good. Well, how do we know that? Because Luke, when he wrote, he never talked about a major event that happened in AD 70, which he would have written about. It was the destruction of the temple. So Jesus resurrecting in the 30s had to have been written about less than 40 years after. There you go, history buffs. This is why you came to church today. The rest of us, let's lean in. Let's read together. Luke chapter 24. This is a conversation that Jesus has after he's been killed, after he's been buried. Now he's walking around and he talks to these two disciples that are experiencing what you feel and what I feel. Insecurity and confusion. I wonder what happened. I wonder why this happened. Am I good enough? And Jesus drops this truth on them you've got to understand today. So, Luke chapter 24, verse 13 and 14. And you could either look up here or if you've got a Bible, you can follow along with me. Luke 24. Now, that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. Let's pause there. So, that same day is 3 days after Jesus had been crucified in Jerusalem. So, 3 days later, that same day, there are these two followers of Jesus. I'll give you a spoiler alert. One of them is named Cleopas. We get his name later. We're going to call him Cleo because I think that's stronger. So Cleo and his friend are walking 7 miles from Jerusalem talking about what just happened. What just happened? Jesus died. These followers, Cleo and his friend, they had been following Jesus, believing in Jesus for so long, possibly years, and they just saw him die. And with that death went their hope, went their beliefs, went what they thought was going to happen, and what came up was insecurity and confusion. They don't understand. That's not how the story was supposed to play out. You don't follow someone so that they can die. You follow them because they seem to have an agenda that's hopefully going to benefit you. Why? Because the focus is on you. We're going to see Cleo was very focused on himself. And when you focus on you, insecurity comes through. So they're walking 7 miles. And as they talk, verse 15, and discuss these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. That's amazing. Look at what Luke writes next. But they were kept from recognizing him. But that concerned me a little bit because I was confused. I said, how in the world do you not realize Jesus is walking with you guys? And what is going on here? You followed this guy for all those years. You saw him die. You're now taking this 7-mile journey away from the place of death. And Jesus is walking with you. Why don't you see it? Why can't you get that he's right there? Then I said, Keith, How many times in your life have you not been able to see that Jesus was with you? Come on, some of you have experienced that. You've been through situations after you believed in a crucified and resurrected Jesus, after you've lived for him, after you said, I follow him, you've grabbed the gray card, you checked off Discover Jesus, you've been water baptized, whatever it looked like for you. And after that, there were moments where you said, where is Jesus now? And I can remember when I lost a job that I thought I was going to have for a long time, I couldn't see Jesus in it at all. Couldn't see him. It wasn't supposed to go that way. When my son was born, he had some medical complications. One of his eyes, I can't remember now, I believe it was the right one, was kind of pushing out from his head. And they weren't sure what was back there. And so we had to do all this testing on our little guy, MRIs, to find out what's back there. You know, they were saying it could be a tumor pushing out. So we were walking through that. Can I tell you? Didn't know where Jesus was. No idea. I was a pastor. I was pastoring this church. Couldn't see him. What kept Cleo and his friend from seeing Jesus, what kept me, what's kept you from seeing Jesus is our focus. Because when you start to focus on you, you have insecurity that comes through. And insecurity presents itself as, where is Jesus? I thought this would be different. It's not supposed to be that way. And confusion wells up. Why? Because the focus is on you. And the focus was on me. And I was so fixed on a job loss, and I was so fixed on a medical complication. To bring closure, there was nothing there. He just has a big eyeball. Thank God his head got bigger too, so you won't even notice now. But it was just a big eyeball. But couldn't see Jesus in it. Why? Because I was really focused on me. Really focused on me. And these guys are walking next to Jesus, but they're taking this 7-mile journey, discussing what happened. And we're going to see when Cleo starts to talk, the focus was so off, so out of focus that they couldn't even see Jesus when he's walking with them. So what happens? I love this. I call this classic Jesus. Look at what Jesus does here. He asked them, what are you discussing together as you walk along? They stood still. Now, Luke says their faces were downcast. In my version, I think it was like a what you talking about Willis face that they gave him. You know, like one of those, you know, just what do you mean? What do you mean? They even say one of them named Cleopas asked him, are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days? Cleopas doesn't understand. Are you serious? What, are you the only guy who wasn't around this weekend? You didn't hear about Jesus, who has been doing amazing things for all these years? We thought he was the guy. Cleo's going to say it. And he died. You don't know about that, really? And then Jesus just presses a little bit. He says, what things? He asked him. Now, but before we read on, Jesus, I love Jesus. And I love him for who he is, and I love him for what he says and what he does with people. Here's what I believe that Jesus is not content with in this moment. Jesus is not content with letting Cleo's focus stay on Cleo, because he knows there's a better way for him to live. Because Cleo and his friend are on this 7-mile sad journey away from Jerusalem, talking about what went wrong, insecure and confused about it was supposed to be, but it's not. Now he's with them. They can't see him. And Jesus is not content to leave them to their own focus. And today, Jesus is not content to leave you to your own focus. Because Jesus knows there's a better way for you to live. And it's not when you're at the center of your story. It's not when everything's filtered through Keith. Because when everything goes through me, the insecurity and confusion is going to rise up. When I'm only thinking about what you think about me and my wife thinks about me and bosses and friends and all of this, I'm only going to be insecure and confused. And Cleo and his friend are thinking about them, and Jesus is willing, because he loves them, to press in. He says, what things? Jesus knew what things. Jesus was the thing. But he says, what things? And Cleo's response shows us where the focus was. He asked them, Cleo says, about Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. Here it is. Here's the focus. But we, had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all of this took place. So Cleo and his friend respond to Jesus' what things question. And in it, we see the focus. And it's not on Jesus. See, they define Jesus as a prophet. And that's interesting. Because Jesus never called himself a prophet. In fact, there was one moment in Jesus' life where people were calling him a prophet, and Jesus pushed against it. He asked his followers, "I know they think I'm a prophet. Who do you think I am?" And the answer that was given was not prophet. Jesus never claimed to be a prophet. You know who Jesus claimed to be? God. Jesus didn't claim to be a messenger from God. He claimed to be God. Well, where is that? Every single time he uses the phrase, "I am," he is calling himself God. And he does it over and over and over again. He says, "I am the bread of life." No. We have the manna from Moses. No. That talks about me. "I am the living water." No. We have the cleaning ceremony in the temple. No, that talks about me. "I am the gate. I am the good shepherd. I am the way, the truth, the life. I am the resurrection and the life." Over and over, Jesus is saying, "Here's who I am." But the problem was, the people listening weren't focused on that. They were focused on themselves. And they didn't want God. They wanted this Messiah that they had defined, a prophet, a man who was going to lead them out of Roman captivity, a military leader, someone who would come and set them free. And at this point, they're under Roman rule. And that's why Cleo says, "We hoped he was the guy to redeem us." Meaning we hoped he was the one who was going to lead us away from Rome, overthrow the Roman government, the way Moses did the Egyptian government. He was supposed to do that, but we just saw him die. And no dead person is going to overthrow the Roman government. Live people can't really do it. And the problem was they were focused on themselves. So insecurity and confusion wells up. We thought, we hoped, we had it wrong, and now they're taking this 7-mile journey away. But Jesus doesn't leave them there. This is where it gets good. Look at Jesus. He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets had spoken." See, they had the prophets, they had the writings, they had the words. We call it the Old Testament. That was their Bible. They had those books. And it talked about Jesus, they just missed it. So he's saying, you don't understand. They thought, by focusing on them, that the guy to come was going to be this military leader, this David, this ruler, this king. She says, no. You don't understand. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? Well, we kind of missed that part. We skipped over the part where the guy dies. Yeah, because you were focused on you. And this is the truth, right here, verse 27, that you and I need to grab today. "And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." What Jesus is doing there is mind-blowing. He's taking the writings of Moses. We would call them today Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, those beginning books. He's taking the prophets, and he's talking about himself. What he's telling them is, you've got the wrong focus. You were confused and you're insecure because you open it up and you start to say, well, what does God want me to do? And what promise is there for me? And how am I supposed to live? And what's the do's and don'ts for me? And Jesus takes them on this journey. And man, I wish Luke recorded the rest of it for us. Luke doesn't tell us what the rest of the conversation looked like. They continue on and get to a house. But he says, and at the beginning, that would have been great, great to know, because it would have made my job easier. Now I got to go back in and do commentary. What did he talk about? He talked about himself. He said, everything you thought that was about you, that you were supposed to be like and you had to do and you can't, it was all about me. And if you would change your focus, you would stop asking the insecure questions. Does God love me? Am I good enough for God? Can I know God? It's not about you. It's about me, he says. Every page. Specifically, because he didn't have Luke when this was around, he talks about the Old Testament, the confusing stuff for us. A talking snake, a man being swallowed by a fish, There's a good one we're going to talk about where a pastor has to marry a prostitute. That's real confusing. Thank God that wasn't my story. Right? That's in there. The Ten Commandments. How am I supposed to keep those? I can barely keep one. He goes through all those stories and says, the problem is you're reading it and you're thinking about you. You've got to read it and think about me. It's all about me. I'm on every page. And for the next 5 weeks, we're going to go through five stories that you may or may have not heard, just from the Old Testament. And we're going to find Jesus together. Why? Because if you don't change your focus, you are going to keep approaching church, faith, God, community with others, and you are going to be insecure. You're going to keep wondering, am I good enough? Am I accepted? Does God love me? Can I pray? He can pray. She can pray. Can I do it? And if you don't fix this first, you are definitely going to be insecure with other people. Because if you don't think that you're good enough for God and you can't deal with that relationship, when it comes to your spouse or your friends or your coworkers or your boss, you're always going to have the insecure question, am I good enough? Do I have this right? And Jesus looks at them and changes their focus and starts to deal with insecurity. He kills it. Here's how. Because if I know it's not all about me, I could stop trying and I can start trusting in the work of Jesus. I can stop trying to be good enough to get God to love me, and I can rest in the goodness of Jesus and let that change me. It means that I don't have to walk around with pride and arrogance anymore, because that's the other spectrum of insecurity. Sometimes our insecurity reveals itself in our arrogance. We are so insecure that we have to keep putting other people down to make us feel good. But when you realize you're no better than the person next to you, you need Jesus just as much as they do, humility enters the picture. And you're confused about stories involving a man and a fish and a boy and a giant because we're trying to find ourselves in those stories. And we need to discover Jesus in those stories. He is who this is all about. And so the reason why we're calling this series Better is because Jesus is way better than you. And that's kind of like, get out of my kitchen, dude. You are way in my face right now. I know. That's the story of God, though. If Jesus is not better than you, then you're always going to wonder, am I good enough? Am I good enough? Am I loved? Am I accepted? And the story of Jesus, we call it the gospel, the good news, is that you need to realize you're not as good as you think you are, but you are way more loved than you think you are because Jesus is better. And so here's three next steps for all of us to take in this place. Because how do we change our focus? How do we move in this direction? The first thing we need to do is I think we need to just ask. Sometimes we overlook that. Today, we're going to conclude our time. I'm going to lead in a corporate prayer. But if you want to ask God, you can simply say, God, would you help me understand this better? Because look at what he does at the end of his time with them. We'll go down to verse 44. He said to them, this is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. And here's what we're going to ask for. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. And today, maybe you're going to end your time here. Say, God, would you open my mind to understand the scriptures? It's a simple ask. Would you help me as I listen to someone? Maybe you listen to podcasts during the week, or you watch a YouTube video, or you read the Bible for yourself, or we sing songs about Jesus. We're going to start today by saying, would you help me understand this stuff? Because sometimes I read and I don't get it. And you help them understand. Could you help me understand? I believe you can. Now, the next thing I want you to do is this. On your chair, there's a rhythm card for you, which is how we take what we talk about during our time together and carry it out into our life rhythms. So commuting, home time, whatever it looks like for you. I made a little assessment there. It's a couple questions, and you're just going to scale yourself. And it's for you, so be honest. No one's looking at it. You're not turning it in. But I want you to think, where is your focus most? When you look at those questions, where do you land on a scale of 1 to 5? Do you strongly disagree? Do you strongly agree? That's how it's ranged. And that's going to help you assess, how focused am I on God and how focused am I on me? Now, that's a golf score there. You want a low score, okay? You want to keep it low. The higher you say, okay, maybe there's more chance of me focused on me. So we're going to ask today for God to open up our minds. We're going to assess ourselves during the week. And then, this is the third step if you want to take it. We're going to apply it. So on that card, I wrote down, to read Genesis chapter 3, because that's the story we're going to start with next week. That whole weird talking snake, people in the garden, what did that look like? Where's Jesus there? We're going to talk about that next week. But I would love for you this week to read Genesis 3, and I want you to find Jesus there. Now, let me give you a little hint. His name's not there. Okay, so you're not going to find the name Jesus in Genesis 3, but I want you to approach it and say, how does this talk about Jesus? How would this point me to Jesus? Instead of going there, because here's what we do. We go there, and this is what I did in Sunday school, and you're told, don't be like Adam. Adam ate the fruit. Don't be like Eve. You need to be different. You need to be stronger, to which I'm like, I can't. I just can't. I can't do it. And then what happens? You feel insecure because you can't do it. And then what happens? You don't go back to church and you close up the Bible and I can't do it. You need to change the focus. You need to see where Jesus is in there. And we're going to do that for 5 weeks, all different stories. But next week, we're going to start in the garden. My hope for you today was that you would realize this isn't so much about you as it is about Jesus. And that's a good thing because Jesus is way better. And if you want to take a step towards knowing him personally today, you want to start the journey of following him, that gray card has a spot that says Discover Jesus. Check that off, drop it in a box or hand it to me. This week, I'll shoot you an email, just celebrate with you, give you some best next steps to keep discovering him. But all of us in this space, all of us, including me, we need to keep the focus on him or insecurity and confusion are going to come through every single time. This is about Jesus. And I'm excited to take this journey with you to find Jesus in the garden, in a fish, and a boy that takes down a giant. It's going to be a lot of fun. So I'm going to ask you to actually stand with me as I close in prayer. And if you want to ask God to open your mind to understand the scripture, go ahead and talk to him while I talk to him corporately. He hears you. Don't let the insecure, can God hear me? Can I pray? I'm not a pastor. I don't know. He hears you. Say it in your head. Say it out loud in your words. But just ask him, help me understand. And then we're going to walk through this journey next week. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for your son, Jesus, who came to change our focus. Father, on that day all those years ago, he changed the focus of Cleopas and those with him. And so today we ask, open our minds to understand the scriptures. Help us see Jesus on every page. Help us notice and realize it's not about us. It's about your son, Jesus. And changing the focus breaks down insecurity and confusion. Help us this week, when we have those insecure questions come up, to remember we have a cornerstone. We have Jesus, your son, our Savior, who makes our relationship with you right, who kills insecurity, who kills confusion, who kills pride, so that we can rest in knowing you love us. In Jesus' name, amen.